Big hello to everyone who's listening in to today's call. And my name is Alan Hilsinger, calling in from Australia, Gold Coast. And I am super excited for today's call with the wonderful Dr. Ash Good, who is a qualified osteopath, however, recently has become full-time Isagenics, and she is a 4-star Golden Circle, 2-star Crystal Executive, and one of the 4 newest START Ambassadors. Welcome, Ash. How are you?
Thanks so much, Alan. I'm awesome. How are you?
Really, really good. I'm so excited to have you on this call. I know there's a lot of people, you know, especially in our team that follow you and follow you along on Facebook, and you are one of the most consistent people that I know in Isagenics. So I'm looking forward to hearing some of your little tips on how you've been able to grow your business and where
Thank
it's going.
You so much.
So you're more than welcome. What I want to start with, just, you know, there's a lot of people on this call that are literally listening in from around the globe, and some people may know you, some may not, but I'd love to hear a recap of your story. And obviously, you know, you have a health and wellness background, and how did you get into Isagenics? What did the conversation with you look like from somebody talking to you, talking to a health professional, and why did you get started?
Thanks so much, Alan. Thanks again for having me on the call. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks to share a little bit about my background. As you said, I'm an osteopath and a wellness coach, and I guess I fell into Isagenics for my own personal health reasons. It's not like someone didn't approach me. I came across it. I was on my own health journey to feel my best at the time, and I hit a point of frustration. I was at a point where I was doing all the right things. I was eating clean, organic, superfoods, fermented foods, nothing processed, yet I was still feeling tired all the time. I was sluggish. I had digestive issues and struggling to shift some weight no matter how well I ate or how hard I trained in the gym. So I was getting really frustrated, and I was also starting to feel really incongruent, because here I was as a health professional telling people what to do to feel better every day, yet I wasn't feeling it myself. So I was fortunate enough to come across Isagenics through the beautiful Anna Richards, and we met through an online business school that we did together, and I'd actually reached out to her for some mentoring because I loved her energy and really just wanted to work with her, and she told me about this Isagenics. She was only working with people with Isagenics, and I was a straight out no thank you, but no thank you. There was no way I was looking at shakes, and I was a massive skeptic, to say the least. So I said no for about 8 months until I got to a point where I just thought, you know what? What I'm doing is not working for me. I've got nothing to lose. I don't have to tell anyone. I'm just going to do it. I'd seen her amazing results. I'd done my research and, dove in and had an amazing health transformation. Within 10 days, I was like a brand new person. I was bouncing out of bed in the morning, had energy that lasted through the day. My digestive issues settled, and I started to lose that weight that I'd been struggling to shift for so long. So, have never looked back 2.5 years on. So that was my health story. And I guess once in terms of the income and the business side of it, I definitely had no interest from the beginning. I didn't want a bar of it. Didn't really know much about network marketing, but knew that it sounded salesy, and that was something that I certainly wasn't about. So, had a great health transformation. Just naturally started sharing it with some family, friends, health coaching clients. They started to get results too, and I started to slowly see some income coming in. And I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. and looked into it a bit further, and then I guess really caught the vision of Isagenics and the START vision and the vision of what it could do for me and my family and future generations. And I saw really from an osteopath, when I didn't work, I didn't get paid. When I travel, there goes my income. The moment I have children, my income's cut off. And for me to earn more money, I had to work longer hours, and it's quite physically demanding. So it was very, very limited. And here was an opportunity where there was no cap on income, absolutely no limit, and also no limit on the people that I could help. So it just opened up my eyes to this whole new world of possibility and of impact, really.
I love that. And I love you that it's a great example. And I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they panic and they're, especially when they're early on in their Isagenix sharing journey, that a lot of people do say to them, no, they are skeptical. And you're an absolute perfect example. 8 months of, is that correct? 8 months, you said, of not joining Isagenix and saying no. And then something just reaches a point where you just go, you know what, I've got to give it a go. And it's a great example to people out there of when you're talking to somebody, just hang in there with them. I'm going to have a guess that Anna just kept building a relationship with you. There was no pressure. She just kept being there. And then that was eventually, it was a no-brainer that you would enroll with her. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
So, and I think looking back at even the last few months, I was talking to someone about it the other day, and I said, everyone that I've enrolled, like I've been speaking to for, you know, 6 to 12 months minimum. It just takes time.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And people sometimes get in a little panic and they start comparing to, you know, there's a small handful of people that are real rocket ships. And that's probably one of the things that I know a lot of people love to watch your journey and see your journey. And you're probably, and in my eyes as well, one of the most consistent people out there. And it hasn't been a rocket ship journey, but it's been a real consistent, strong, steady growth. Can you sort of take us through that first 12 months? I know it took you, correct me if I'm wrong, around about 12 months from when you decided to begin your Isagenix journey through to going executive. What were some of the things in that 12 months that kept you going along the journey? And obviously, what changed to really propel you through to reaching executive?
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Yeah, it was a journey. I think once I caught the vision, there was no plan B. So I knew in the back of my mind that this was what I wanted to do, but I knew that it would take time. Like, I was still working. So it was just a matter of, like they say, fitting it into the spare time, where I could. And I just kept plugging in. So I knew that I had to go to events and kept showing up to those. I think it was just after 6 months, I went to my first David Wood event, and him saying, you know, your business can only grow to the extent that you grow yourself. And I plugged into his, I remember listening to his podcast every single day. And just, so personal growth was a big part of my business growth as well, I suppose, and just staying
Had you done any personal development before Isagenix, Ash? Because I know this is your first network marketing company, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Not really. Like, I'd started on that journey of personal development, but nothing like since I've started with Isagenix, which has probably also been one of my favourite parts about this whole journey is the personal development component of it. Oh, my goodness. Amazing.
Yeah, totally. And so really it was just for you just staying plugged in, keeping in. And from the sounds of it, you made a clear decision, though, that you knew. So it wasn't like you made the decision and said, hey, if it doesn't succeed by 3 months' time, I'm out. You actually made that decision and said, I am 10 out of 10 in Isagenix and my belief in Isagenix. I will make this work. And then you've just been consistent to ensure that you actually make that happen. Is that pretty much?
Yeah. And just keep going, like keep moving forward and keep, I remember, like another podcast I heard, David Wood, I think he said it was a five-year plan or 10-year plan. I look at that like it took me 5 years to become an osteopath. I look at this, okay, I'm in year three of my five-year degree. Sure, I'm not going to be a professional at the end of the 5 years, but I'm going to have success or more success than at the start. So just seeing that long-term vision, that it's not a get-rich-quick thing and that it does take time. And I think that time as well, if you can really focus on stability and your own personal growth in that time, then it will really set you up for that long-term success.
Totally. So for you, so it was a five-year university degree to become an osteopath. Is that correct?
Yeah, 3 years.
What's the kind of wage that you would qualify and go into being an osteopath? What's like the average that you would come out of that degree with?
Yeah, probably 80 to 100 grand at the start.
Awesome.
So it's pretty good, but we, as I said earlier, it's quite physically demanding. Yeah, it's very limiting. But
and
I mean,
if you stop, you don't get paid. Yeah.
Yeah, the moment, I never took a sick day, and I remember a couple of days waking up going, oh, I don't want to go to work today, but I can't afford to not go.
Yeah, totally. And now 2.5 years in, you're a 4-star Golden Circle, so 6-figure residual income. And as you said, 2.5 years in, you're only halfway through that 5-year
I know.
Network marketing
I know, it's
degree.
Exciting.
It's exciting. It's
yeah.
so exciting.
Yeah.
So you went through that and you obviously reached executive, which was a big milestone for you in your business. What was the next step? Like, what was the real change to go from being an exec? And obviously, you know, there's a lot of people out there, and we know that it's a common thing. People reach exec. And sometimes they can relax, you know, they think they've done the hard work, but really that's when the work begins, isn't it? Like, you work up and you be consistent to reach exec, but then the work really, really begins. What was the big change for you that then helped you go to that next level again?
Oh, I don't think there was exactly one thing. I think it was a number of things. After that 12-month mark, I was starting to get into the swing of things where I was fortunate enough to, I guess, be able to drop back a few days working as an osteo so I could put more time into this. But it was just a continual journey of growth and consistently trying to build the business, consistently bringing new people into the business. That's something that I learned as well, and that probably has led to the more rapid growth, I suppose, this year, is getting to a point where I realise, okay, I'm not going to drag these people. So that probably slowed down the growth as well, holding on to people who didn't want it, because they were my first few business builders, I suppose, as such. So thinking that they still had to be part of the business. So letting go of those and focusing on...
Just going to jump back on you there, Ash, because I think that's a really, really key point, and I just want to re-emphasize that. I think a lot of, and I know we've done the same, there's a lot of people out there, quite often it's not the people that you first think are going to be successful in Isagenix that are, and I love that you don't drag the people. And do you, I just want to focus in on that for a second. What, like, did that sort of shift your energy? Did you, at that point, was it a realization of like, hold on, these people are draining me more than empowering me and everyone else around it, and I've just got to let them go, and then the new people will attract into my business if I'm doing the right thing? Is that sort of where you went with it from a thinking point of view?
Massively, exactly. Let them go and focus on bringing those new people in, people who want it. I think that does hold back a lot of people, is just dragging those people. Those ones that don't want it.
Yeah, I love that. That's absolutely awesome advice. I've been thinking about that myself and going, oh, what do? You want it more for them, but at the end of the day, you can't control their decisions, can you?
Yeah, you can't do someone's push-ups for them. Yeah.
No, that's so true. You can't do the push-ups for them. Quote. Love that. So for you then, obviously, you know, you found your new people to run with and that kind of stuff. Was it an event that then took you, like, really propelled you after that? Was it a 90-day game plan? What do you think was the next real progression once you'd realised that you've got to stop dragging the people?
Yeah, it's funny, Alan, because I feel like this call is, you know, divine timing, because it was after last year's celebration that things completely shifted. It's last year's American celebration that things completely shifted for me. And I knew
goosebumps.
Early on that... I knew early on that the power of events, and I mean, I couldn't afford to go to that celebration last year. I borrowed money, and I remember getting there and calling my sister to borrow more money while I was over there, because I couldn't afford to be there. But I knew the importance of being there, and I heard a couple of things throughout that celebration that just shifted me. I heard a few stories and I just thought, oh my God, what's my excuse? I don't have an excuse. And also hearing as a health professional, I suppose, hearing the research presented at that celebration really changed my posture and my belief. You know, hearing the results of that Skidmore study and just showed me, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I've been talking to people like this is a 30-day cleanse. This is an exceptional nutrition program and everybody needs it. So I came out of that event 10 foot high and bulletproof. Like, I was ready to go. And so I launched into that first 90-day game plan, which is the one we're about to start. And it was the first full 90-day game plan that I went full out. It's the first one that I completed, and it shifted my business.
Absolutely. Wow, so just on that, Ash, that's massive. So you'd been in Isagenix, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere close to 18 months up until that point. And that was really the shift, and then that was the first game plan that you complete. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that have been here 2 years, 3 years, longer, that have never actually successfully, and by successfully I mean that they've actually gone the full 90 days and done all the actions that they initially set out at the start. And with everyone, and I'm going to guess that nearly everyone on this call is going to be doing one, talk me through, like, what was the thinking there? How did you make, I suppose it's a habit, but how did you really ensure that you went through that 90-day game plan? I just want to get my head in this, and I know there's a lot of people out there just going, you're 18 months in, what's the difference? How did that shift? What was the change?
Yeah, there was a few things. One of, I guess I committed to doing things differently. I was like, okay, what have I done in the past? What have I not done in the past? And something that I hadn't been doing earlier was getting on the phone. I hated getting on the phone.
Mm.
So I knew that I had to get uncomfortable. And every time I picked up the phone, I was like, okay, I'm doing it differently. I'm, you know, this one's going to be different. And also at Celebration, I remember hearing Susan Fly. I can't remember the exact statistic she said, but she said we spend, I don't know, a certain amount of years of our life looking for things that we can't find. And so I completely decluttered, reorganized, structured everything. So that 90 days, my time was so efficient. Like if I had allocated 2 hours to prospecting, like I did it. And I was just focused.
That is so cool. I love it. Now, that's one thing, doing the 90-day game plan and staying there and all the rest of it. What were your results out of the 90-day game plan? What was the impact? Because even then, I think people out there look at it and go, you know, I hear people saying 90-day game plans, what projected my business. In what way do you feel that it really propelled your business? Because obviously from there, I know that shortly after, correct me if I'm wrong, shortly after, early into the next year, you went 3-star, and then not long later again, you've gone 4-star. What do you think were the keys within that 90-day game plan that have projected, propelled your business to the next level?
Sure. Probably talking to more people than I've ever spoken to in my life, sharing the Isagenix story, having the most conversations that I've ever had. And it was actually, I'm pretty sure it was a take action call that you did. And it was about the first 30 days, the importance of that being focused on enrollment. Was that a call you did last year?
Yeah, with Jackson. Yeah, correct. Sure.
Yeah. I remember listening to that. And that was my focus for the first 30 days, was bringing new people in and then developing them. And I did develop a lot of people in that 90 days, but it was, looking back now, it was all of those conversations that I had. I planted so many seeds. I got so uncomfortable. And then earlier this year, they all started to come to fruition, and things started to shift, and it came from that 90-day game plan, which came out of last year's celebration. So pretty cool.
How cool is that? So realistically, it wasn't just the 90 days that has impacted your business. While it was 90 days of really knuckling down at a new level, that has just continued growing through, and I dare say you're probably still using that old 90-day game plan as far as the people that you were prospecting in it.
And I think it's such an important and powerful message, you know, to share with people is the work will pay off. If you know, what you're doing now will pay off down the track. So you just got to keep going and keep believing in that and keep moving forward.
So I dare say you're about to launch in, or if you haven't already, I know you just landed back in Australia in the last couple of days, which makes you jumping on this call even more special. So thank you. What are your plans for this in the next 90 days? Obviously, it's going to be a little different because 12 months ago, that 90-day game plan, you were still working in your job as well as doing the 90-day game plan. What are some of the differences that you'll see in your 90-day game plan this time around? And secondly, what's some advice that you can give the two groups of people, because you're one of those people that have been in both, the people that are working full-time, listening to this call going, I don't know where I'm finding my time, I've only got 2 hours a day, or I've only got this. Is there any advice that you can give both different groups of people on how they tackle this next 90-day game plan?
Yeah, sure. So for the first, yeah, we are definitely in prep week to start next week.
Nice.
For sure. And so excited for the people, I guess, working full time or working part time. It really is, like I said before, being efficient with the time that you structure and that you plan and committing to that plan. If you're saying that you're going to do 8 hours a week or 2 hours a day or 1 hour a day, doing that. And in that hour, making sure that 80% of that time is connecting or prospecting or income-producing activity. And I think that's a really important thing as well, because I think a lot of people are doing maybe 30% of their time doing IPA and the rest scrolling Facebook or things that are not related to prospecting. So really making sure that it's that 80% of time connecting and sticking to the schedule and committing to it. And just like Eric Warwick kept saying at Celebration, it's all a decision. Make the decision and commit to it.
And do you think, did you, in that last 90-day game plan that you did that really propelled you, did you have accountability, or was it more you were just being accountable to yourself and your goals, or did you also make yourself accountable to others in the 90-day game plan?
I've had a couple of accountability partners throughout. It's fun, like, this is a different 90-day game plan to that one a year ago, because I felt like I was the only one in my team doing the work, and that's why I think all of the people, I had huge enrollments and a lot of connections, whereas this 90 days is going to be, yes, I'm still focusing on connections, conversations, enrolling, but a lot about developing the team as well. Now I've got team that really want to complete the 90 days as well and run with it. So it is a little bit of a different focus, I suppose. I still will be sticking to that 80% prospecting, connecting, three-way calls, making sure that is the majority of my time, but a lot of it will be about developing the team as well.
Ah, that's exciting, isn't it? So I just want to jump across as well, because I know that you are followed, and particularly, as I said, I know there's a lot of people in our team that follow you on Facebook. They look at your Facebook as an awesome branding. You're always positive. You have that really great feel, I suppose, about your social media.
Thank you.
Has that? No, you're more than welcome. I mean, thank yourself. You're the one that's really, really created that. Have you always been like that? What's the reason that you follow your Facebook? I mean, sorry, focus so much on your social media? Like, just take us through a little bit of that and any kind of tips that you could give people out there on how they can really enhance their Facebook following and what they're doing would be awesome.
Yeah, sure. So I've always, I guess, had the health and wellness part of my brand, but I haven't, it's only been the last probably 12 months that I've really shifted the way that I show up on social media, and that was, again, an event, Super Saturday. Alan, you seem to be in all of my stories. You and Jackson on stage.
Jackson and me again.
Thank you.
I've got to give Jackson credit.
Yeah, you and Jackson on stage did a piece on social media, and you guys said, I think it was Jackson who said, what do you really care? Do you really care about? And I'd been holding back a lot on Facebook because I was scared about what people thought of me. And I remember him saying, you know, what do you really care about? What those 10 people think? Or do you care about the thousands and thousands of lives you can impact and the $20,000 a week you can make? And I thought, I don't care about
that. Oh, wow. Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that again? Because that is awesome. I love that.
Okay, so he said, do you really care about what those 10 people think, or do you care about the thousands and thousands of lives you can impact and the $20,000 a week you can make? And so that moment, shift. Like, I was like, I don't care what those people, because we all know there's a few people in the back of our mind, we're thinking, oh, what do they think? I thought, I don't care what they think. It's not about me. It's about all these people that we can help. So I started showing up a lot more consistently. I started owning what I was doing a lot more on Facebook. And for me, it's all about, okay, I want this, be you, be authentic, but be that, and being a product of the product and showing up like that, so that when anyone thinks health, wellness, I want to get fitter, I want to lose weight, or I want to feel better, they think of you. you want to be the one they think of. So that's sort of my intention, and always like pouring love and positivity out there, and branding yourself. But as I said, just be you, and that's what's going to be the most attractive thing.
I love that. That is brilliant. So onto that, we're sort of diving a little bit. So do you have a set structure around your Facebook? Do you make sure that you're posting, like obviously out there you have the 10-4-1 that a lot of people use within the Isagenix community. Do you have a little bit of a goal in that sense? Do you follow a bit of a strategy?
I go through phases. I don't plan my posts, which probably costs me a bit of time sometimes, but I just like to post how I'm feeling or what comes up so that it's really real. But I definitely make sure that there's a mixture of, for me, I love positive quotes. So like it might be quotes and then a fitness one, a nutrition one, a lifestyle one. So definitely I think there's a big importance of having a good mix. So it's not all before and afters, or it's not all, Isagenix. So being a little bit strategic in how I weave Isagenix into it. But definitely the key is just consistency. So every day, at least once a day. Yeah.
It's funny you just said that, because I just wrote that word down again. As I'm listening to you, I just wrote consistent and real. And I think that's the two keys, isn't it? Just be consistent, keep showing up, but just be yourself, because people want to be part of the real you, and it's no good if you're not being the real you and then they realize later on, hold on, you weren't being that real person anyway. It's not going to work out, is it? So I love that. Absolutely love that.
And coming from that place of service and just having that as your intention every time. Like, I'm not posting this to get someone. I'm posting this to serve and to inspire and to help.
And not worry about those 10 people that have probably unfollowed you anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, they actually, I know that several of them have, and it doesn't bother me one bit. It's all good.
Especially when you know how many thousands of people you're positively impacting. It's so cool. I love that. I think that's absolutely gold, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this have probably written that down. So cool that you've been able to pass that on. So for you then, Ash, like, it was I talk about people that are loved, especially in the Isagenix community, and you listen to when you were announced as a Start Ambassador. The Australian section at the gala just went wild. And you could see the joy on your face. It was a bit of I'm not sure if you knew or not, but you certainly look shocked and look so ecstatic about it. What does it mean to you? Like, that feeling when they announced you as a Start Ambassador, clearly it's something that really means something to you just from your reaction. What does it mean to you, and what is your goals with being a part of that?
Yeah, I'm still, like, if you can see my face right now, I'm like smiling ear to ear. I'm still so excited, and it's the biggest honour. Just excited, I guess, to play a bigger role in the START movement. And my mission, I suppose, looking forward is just to bring as many people along on this journey as possible. And I know, like, I always show people that video. One of my favourite things ever is Zach Slobin in that START video where he says, you know, we are permission bearers. We get to show people that they can be, do and have anything they choose, and we're going to be a stand for people even when they can't be a stand for themselves. So I'm so honoured and so excited to be a part of the movement that is changing the future generations. And if we can just be the symbol of possibility and show more and more people what's possible, then that means the world to me. So, I'm just still so excited, shocked and honoured, and can't wait to see where it takes me and takes us and takes the START movement. It's really cool.
That's really, really exciting. And, you're 31 years old. You've got another 4 or 5 years in START, and that's really, really exciting for the START movement itself, to have somebody like yourself with such an amazing background. And I'm sure you're going to be an amazing member in there as well. With that START movement as well, Ash, I know there's a lot of people out there, and it's a common question, as silly as it seems, there's people out there that are not in START that are on this call. And, talking to a START person, like, do you talk to them differently? What advice have you got for people? Let's say you've got the person out there that's 40, 45, and they're talking to someone that's 25 years old. Like, is there a different way of talking to them? Are you, pitching's not the right word, I'm not looking for that word, but do you know what I mean? Like, approach them in a different way? Like, is there any advice you could give people in talking to younger staff members?
Yeah, it's probably, again, it's like when you talk to everyone, helping them, I guess, paint their own vision of what they want for the future. But I guess
paint their own vision. Hold on. I was writing this down. Just go back there. Paint their own vision. I like that.
Yeah, like we always say, cast the vision. It's not about, it's not about us casting the vision. It's about us helping them cast their vision. So, using the start. I just always use the start videos and the start tools so that they can relate to that. But again, it just comes down to digging deep with them. You know, what do they want? What do they see for their future? The magic wand question. And then hooking them up with, if you feel like you can't relate to them, get them on a three-way call or three-way message with someone who is in the start group, someone who they will be able to relate to, who you think might be able to flick their light switch on a bit better than you can. Just use the tools and use each other.
Yeah, so simple, isn't it? And it's funny too, because I know even myself, I'm the same. I talk to somebody that's in their young 20s and you just feel like you need to change, but you don't do. You just need to find how to resonate with them, isn't it? And you get caught up in your head so much. And it was actually, I've just written it down. How simple is that? Just use the start tools. Like, that's all there for us, isn't it? We get.
I know. I think it was Jay Bennett or someone, maybe Jay Bennett at Celebration, and he spoke about keeping it simple. Like, use the products, be a product of the product, talk to people, and then use the tools. Like, simplicity.
I know. And here I am asking you, and the answer is just like, oh, my God, it's so simple. I want to know, as we launch into this next 90-day game plan, and you've got an opportunity to be held accountable now, Ash, to however many thousands of people are going to be listening to this call, what are your goals for this 90-day game plan? At the end of this 90 days, what are your goals?
Wow.
On the spot.
Five-star Golden Circle is my goal.
Awesome.
I would love to develop to – I will develop to executives, and 30 enrollments is my goal.
Awesome.
Keep
building. I love it. And
on,
you sort of
and just building stability, depth.
Yeah, definitely. And for you, what's your schedule going to look like? I know you sort of touched on that a little bit. And, you know, in this 90-day game plan, do you then make sacrifices yourself? From what you normally do. I know you work hard anyway and you're so consistent as it is in your normal daily do of Isagenics. But what are some of the things that you're going to change in this 90-day game plan to take it to that next level? Is there certain sacrifices or certain things that you're going to do additionally? How's that going to work for you? Just to get in your head for our people out there.
Yeah, it's actually been a real journey transitioning from working to doing this full time. And at the beginning thinking, okay, I need to be in the office, you know, I need to be doing this 8 hours a day or 9 to 5, and actually found a real struggle with that, and have played around a lot in the last couple of months with my hours and what works for me. So really want to reinforce, do what works for you, with work, whether that's working in the morning, working at night, what works best for you. You'll hear some people say, you know, I work 16 hours a day and that's not me. I don't want to do that. It doesn't work well for me. So for me, the morning, like early morning is my meditation, my workout, then getting into the office about 8. And because I've got an office outside of home now that I go into.
Oh, that's cool.
And I work from 8 till 2 because I was finding at 2 o'clock I was hitting a wall and the next couple of hours I was wasting time. So leaving the office for a couple of hours and just doing something else, and then from...
Is that something you love? Is that, what's that sort of break in between?
Yeah,
is that...
It's going to the beach, catching up with friends, like doing stuff that fills me up again after 6 solid hours of work. In front of the computer. So it was like reconnecting with people out, or even catching up with people, but just outside of the office or out away from my computer. But yeah, or hitting or going to the beach just to be there. And then from 5 o'clock onwards, getting into it again. But it might just be 5 till 7 or it might be 6 till 9, just doing a couple of solid hours. So mine is going to be very structured in this next 90 days, but making sure that, yeah, from 2 till 5, that's sort of my break, because I'm finding with my body and mind that that worked for me, but find what works for you. And then I will be my mornings, because that's when I'm on in the morning. So my mornings are mainly my prospecting time and my income producing time. I'll do a little bit of that at night, but really working on my strength that I'm a morning person and that's when I'm on.
Do you find as well, Ash, then on that, and I love that you do your prospecting, getting that stuff, the real, because you talked about it before, 80% IPA, income producing activities, prospecting, talking to people. Do you find that, and I know that a lot of people hit a 90-day game plan and 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks in there in overwhelm. Do you find, listening to your structure, that by doing that in the morning and getting that IPA stuff done, that it actually relieves a little bit of the overwhelm as well?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And then I think that's a big key, just listening to you, and you sound so structured and you're like, you've just really got it clear. And but it hasn't always been that way. Clearly listening to your story as it's gone through, it's taken you 2.5 years to really find your groove. And I wrote this down as well. Do what works for you, because some people can just go all day and some people really, really need a break to be even more efficient. So I love that. That is absolutely gold.
Yes. Yeah, and I really, like that 8 till 2, I've only just worked out in the last couple of months. And that was just through trial and error of going, okay, the last week or the last, you know, month from 2 till 4, what have I been doing? Like, and it's just like, okay, that doesn't work for me. So I need to change that up. And I'm finding that I've found a structure that works for me. But I think with everyone working full-time or doing Isagenix full-time, making sure that you do have a structure or a plan in place, and it's just about sticking to it and committing to that. And, yeah, you can't go wrong if you're doing what you set out to do.
Love that. Okay, I've got two last questions for you. I love asking these questions, and they're on the spot. The first one is, if there is only 3 pieces of advice you could give people to really propel their business in this next 90 days, and I know you've probably touched on them, but it just might be just re-emphasizing them even. There's only 3 things that you could tell someone about this next 90 days and you'll never see them again, and you desperately want them to be successful. What are the 3 things you're telling them?
Oh, gosh. Be willing to get uncomfortable.
Ooh,
be willing
I love
to
that.
Go somewhere that you've like never been before and push the limits. Be consistent. So if things get hard, because they will get hard and you will have moments, you will have flat days, just get back onto it the next day. Don't beat yourself up about it for a few days. So being really consistent and believing in yourself, because you can do it.
I love it. I love it. So good. And my last question to you is, if there's one lesson that you've learned over your Isagenix journey that you'd love to share with people, or mistake or whatever it happens to be that you would love to share with people just to help them along their journey and really emphasize for them, what would that one, and I know there's hundreds of them probably, but what would that one lesson that you've really learned that you would love to share and finish on for people to take away from what your journey has been so far in Isagenix?
That some people won't get your journey. And don't let that hold you back. Just keep believing in yourself, keep going, keep showing up, keep surrounding yourself with Isagenix, you know, in this growth environment, and just accept that some people won't get it, and that's okay. Don't let that hold you back. Because as I said before, you can do this, anyone can do it, and we are all here for you. Just keep going and keep believing in yourself.
Thank you so much, Ash. It's been an absolute pleasure. I could talk to you, seriously, I could just keep talking to you all day, and I'm sure people can listen to you all day. Excited to see where your journey's going. Obviously, you know, you've detailed it as a start ambassador. You know, Larry and I were high-fiving and were like, oh my God, that is just the perfect person to be added to that Start Ambassador role. We think the world of you. Thank you so much. I know, as I said, you've just flown back into Australia and you're straight onto a call and excited to do it. We appreciate you, and I'm going to send you a photo of my notes because I've written 3 pages of notes and scribble everywhere, but you've given everyone so much gold. So you have an amazing day. And I'll look forward to seeing the journey evolve. Thanks, Ash.
Thanks, Alan. I'll speak to you soon. Thanks, everyone. Bye.